Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Pat Doyle, and we're going to talk about his wood carving and more. So, Pat, first of all, let's talk about where you're from and kind of what you're doing.
Sure. I'm from Floyd, Iowa, which is in the northeast quadrant of the state, about 5 hours from here. And what we're doing this week, we're contracted by the fair to do chainsaw carvings. And we will have 13 of them ready for the auction, which will be held Monday night, tomorrow, at about 6:30. They tell me it'll be immediately after the Parade of Champions. So they will auction 12 of the carvings, and the proceeds will go to the fair. And then one carving that we did, all the proceeds will go to the Atlantic Food Pantry.
So I want to know how you got to this point. Have you been doing wood carving all your life?
No, it was kind of a late in life venture. I started carving about 30 years ago, and I had quit drinking and quit smoking and needed something to do. And so I started running, and I did that for about 3 years, and my knees started to speak to me. And so I ran into a guy that was a hand carver, and so I started hand carving and did that for a number of years, and then started to do some chainsaw carving. So we've been doing chainsaw stuff now for about 20 years. The last 15 have been full-time.
What kind of tools does this take? I'm thinking when you go from hand carving to chainsaw carving, that's a big change.
Well, it is a leap, and the chainsaw is a very unforgiving tool. It's a dangerous tool, but it can do a tremendous amount of wood removal in a very short period of time. So most of the shows that I do are anywhere from half an hour to an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, and we'll do a completed carving during that time. So it moves pretty quickly. My wife is a quilter, and she's very meticulous, and you just have to have a little different mindset of than a quilter, because it's not an exact science. Chainsaw carving isn't.
Yeah. Can you do the kind of the finishing touches with your chainsaw, or do you have a couple of other little tools you use?
I do have some other tools that I use. I have a couple of grinders that I will use to smooth out the carvings. I put a lot of attention into the final product. I used to do very rough cut stuff, and another carver said, you need to finish them more than that. So I do spend an inordinate amount of time with smoothing them out, putting some detail to it. So I was once told that carving is a lot like golf. In golf, they say that you drive for show and you putt for dough, and it's the same way with carving. Do the big cuts, but it's the finishing touches that make for a good carving.
What's the biggest one you've ever done?
Oh gosh, I did an eagle family up in Decorah. Of course, Decorah is famous for the eagle families, and that was about 25 feet tall. Two different oak trees side by side. Mom and the young ones in a nest in one, and then Papa in another tree and kind of watching guard.
And then you do some fairly small ones, I think, some Santa faces, some Herkies, some so on.
Yeah, many of the carvings are in that 2 to 3 foot range, but we do some smaller ones. Actually, the smaller ones are harder to do than the bigger ones, and that may seem odd, but it's more difficult to do the smaller ones.
Yeah, I can understand that when you're using chainsaws. How do you know when you look at a stump, a log, how do you know what it is you're going to get out of that?
Actually, I know what I'm going to carve before I carve it, and so I go looking for a log that will accommodate that piece. Some carvers will look at a log and tilt their head a little bit and say, well, that looks like it is an eagle or a turkey or whatever. I'm not that way. I don't see anything in the log. I go looking for the log that will accommodate what I want to make.
Uh-huh. We probably should have you mention the kinds of things that are going to be at the auction this evening for at the fair, because, you know, there's some people going, I'd really like to have one of those for my yard.
Sure. This is primarily a 4-H fair, and so much of the focus is going to be on farm animals. We've got a pig and a calf and an ear of corn, and we'll have some traditional carvings too. We've got an eagle that's made, and I'll do a bear today. And I notice they've got a lot of rabbits in the 4-H building next year, so I'll do a rabbit today. We also have a sow and a turkey. Understand that there's quite a rivalry down in this part of the state between the two universities, so they'll be competing against each other. And then several others that are kind of cabin and trees, and I forget all that we have done.
Well, you just move on to the next one. And, of course, people have been able to come by and see you working at the fair. I want to go a ways away from your carving. You mentioned that you got into carving and so on because you quit drinking and smoking. Do you help other people with that? Let's talk a little more about that.
Yeah. I grew up on a farm and went to school to be a teacher, and couldn't find a teaching job, so I sold shoes for 8 years, and then went back to school and got a master's degree in counseling. And I worked in a treatment center, alcohol and drug treatment center, for almost 30 years. Left there about 4 years ago, and since that time I've been doing alcohol and drug counseling through our church. And we have a program that we're involved with. It's called Access to Recovery, and do groups that are called God in Recovery. It's a Christian, biblical-based recovery program, because my belief, what I've seen in my work in as an addictions counselor, is that people don't get well without God in their life. And that's just been a very important piece for me. I lived many years without God, and you know, there was a lot of heartache involved with that. And I'm just so grateful and blessed that God has poured out His grace upon me. And I'm just blessed, and I want to pass that on.
It seems like that would be very difficult, even with God in your life. It has to be many challenges to quitting something that you've really been hooked on for quite a long time.
In terms of the drinking and smoking, sure. Actually, the smoking was harder to quit than the drinking. But as with any addiction, what addiction really comes down to, if you boil it all down, is that God's created us with a space in our heart that's reserved for Him. And we try and fill that space or that void with lots of other stuff, alcohol and drugs and food and sex and gambling and work and you name it. We try and fill that hole in our soul to feel complete, and it just doesn't work. And it's reserved for Him. So that's why I say that God is critical, He's essential for recovery.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that there are resources for people who want to make that kind of change? I mean, where do people go and say, okay, I need to change? How do they find that help and that resource?
Well, a good start would be to talk with someone like a pastor or a minister. There are treatment programs, of course, in every community for people to seek assistance. So there's Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. There's a lot of different recovery programs for a person to take that very first step, and that first step is a big step, just admitting that I've got a problem. So that's the starting point.
Okay, well, I know that you have helped a lot of people, Pat, and as the role model, you know, and obviously not only having God in your heart, but having something to do with your hands has made a big difference.
Well, that's true. You know, I lived a lot of my life trying to please people. And what I've learned in this phase of my life is that, it's in the Bible. Paul talks about it in Colossians 3:23, that we're to, whatever we do, whether it's a manual labor or a professional position, whatever we do, we're to do it wholeheartedly as if we're working for the Lord and not for man. And so that's been a change for me. I no longer, at least I try to do that, I remind myself, but I'm working for the Lord, This God has given me this opportunity and these gifts, and I work for Him, and I don't work for to please man. So that's been a big change for me.
We've been visiting with Pat Doyle, who's been at the Cass County Fair doing chainsaw carving, and hope you had a chance to see some of that. If not, you can still come out to the fairgrounds this evening and put your bid in on, or at least appreciate all of the work. So just keep on keeping on.